Dark Wings.
Dork Words.
A Game of Thrones podcast.
Season 4, Episode 2.
The Lion and the Rose.
Welcome back, everyone. I am your host, Chuck Davis, and with me this week are
Craig McCallie,
Mike Hergert,
Chris Voorhees.
Well, fellas, it happened.
Oh, yeah.
The Time Bandits made an appearance in Game of Thrones. The universe crossover we've all been waiting for.
No, it was.
Yes.
I'm still in shock. That's why I didn't have any comment.
Were they riding pigs? I guess I didn't notice.
No.
Weren't they supposed to be riding pigs?
Yes.
They were indeed. It was only
too
two.
Tricky. No, too trick, T-O-O.
Two. Oh, yeah. I mean, never work with children or animals.
Yeah. I expected Tyrion to be a little drunker than he was.
Yeah, he was just somber and sober and...
Yeah, I think he was a little more... overtly insulting in the book. He was played it kind of close to the vest.
He was perfectly deferential and walked, you know, playing it safe, yep. Playing it cool.
To a point.
I mean, he got his
a lot of good that did him.
Jab in, but
yeah. He got his little speech in, but
Marjorie may have saved his life for all we know. Oh, the pie. Good. Here's the everyone look at the pie instead of this.
She had to do that a couple times, right? Yeah.
Well, maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
This was maybe one of the least eventful episodes of in recent memory.
Despite the event, yeah.
I mean, that we've been building up to the wedding, but and yet it's all of a sudden it seemed like, oh, it's the wedding already?
Right. I mean, you just kind of got little bits and pieces, and then in the previous season, like, oh, there's a wedding coming at some point, and it's like, oh, okay, it's this week, I guess.
Right.
It wasn't like the Red Wedding, I think, where it was kind of built up a little more.
Do you feel sorry for Shay, Chuck?
Well, we're meant to feel sorry for her because her poor little heart is breaking.
She cried.
She loves Tyrion, her lion.
I guess.
And, yeah, I mean, her...
We're suddenly reminded that she has actual feelings for him after episodes of just straight bitchiness.
When Tyrion, like, said, "You're a whore, how many men have you slept with?" It's like... like one, pretty much. I mean, it's
just kind of been out of the whoring business for a while.
You mean in real life?
Oh, I don't know about real life.
She's a former porn star in real life.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
Yeah.
Wow. So, well,
that's maybe how she got her start.
Maybe he broke character.
So there are some other former porn or current porn stars in the new lineup of Game of Thrones, I thought.
Oh, yeah? Just some, like, extras or...
Well, I think the...
Hodor, right?
No, I think the Sand Snakes maybe haven't been introduced to a couple of them yet.
Oh, yeah.
Although one of them, Illyria, we've seen.
There's been some crossover.
Is Illyria one of the Sand Snakes?
Yeah.
She said she's a sand...
Wouldn't
sister.
That make her... the sister of Oberyn? Or the... Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? Are the Sand Snakes his daughters or his sisters?
Well, maybe.
We are so out of practice.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, she's a sand.
Right,
and
yeah.
She's snaky. But I don't know if she's one of the official Sand Snakes.
Well, aren't there like seven of them? They're the...
Well,
who are the bastard daughters of...
of Oberyn, right? Yeah, they're his daughters, the Sand Snakes.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and a warm Omaha welcome for the Sand Snakes. Now, so you dub in like a crowd noise right there.
Dubbed.
Consider it dubbed.
We need that fact checker.
Yeah, we need Katie to set us straight on some of these points.
Katie, give us a call.
Katie, at least comment on the... Do we have a website?
I hope so. Chuck posts that to his local host account and just gives us the IP address. Four people see it.
Little tech humor there.
Darkwingsdorkwords.com, everyone. Although I I don't think I've paid for it this year, so it might not be there for much longer. Unless you send in now. It's pledge week here on Darkwing Dork Words.
We're not going to continue the podcast until we get a donation.
Every week.
$25.
Every week is pledge week.
Please donate 50 cents for 2 more minutes.
Mike, tell us about the tote bag.
Wait.
Mike's just looking
around. Oh, yeah, yeah.
This lovely tote and this DVD.
It's a fanny pack, actually, Chuck.
and a Sharpie.
Yeah.
So there's one fanny pack for one lucky listener.
Yes. We only have one listener, Chuck, and it's Keith.
And it's Reek. Let's talk about Reek.
All right, Reek.
All right.
The beginning of this episode really did Reek.
It did.
Yeah.
What was your first impression? This is really the first time we've seen him as in his new role of terrible, poor...
He's not as filthy and broken as he should be.
That's what I thought. I thought he was a little too capable.
He should be unrecognizable.
Mm-hmm. Just a shadow, a shell of his former self.
Right.
Because first they're chasing just hunting the girl through the forest, basically.
Yeah.
With, I don't know who, that's, I guess,
yeah, who the is Bastard the of Bolton's malevolent girlfriend.
Chick.
Yeah, I don't know who that was. But by the time we know of Reek, I mean, Theon is gone. He's like, isn't his hair like white? And he appears very aged and he's missing a lot of digits off his.
He did everything he could off his hands and feet. He did everything he could to be vacant, I think, but
yeah,
he looks too much like his former self to me.
Yeah.
Still too pretty in the face for you.
Yeah.
Guy's clearly not been sleeping with the kennel or in the kennels with the dogs.
Yeah.
That's a case where they could have recast the character and it would have been appropriate.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No kidding. Are we sure that Roose Bolton is the same actor?
I'm 100%
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did he not, I guess it not has, have a beard last year?
I don't
know. I think that's the difference. I think
maybe he didn't. Though they're all aging.
Yeah. Yeah. Bran's got our boy mustache,
Bran.
Right?
Bran was definitely older. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's supposed to be able to fit in a little basket on Hodor's back.
Yeah. Right.
I think if he stood up, he might be as tall as Hodor.
Well, let's not go crazy. I saw a picture of Hodor and Arya standing next together. They were DJing some event in real life.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like a third as tall as him.
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
Does he bill himself as DJ Hodor? Because he should.
So that's plot line. With Bran and the
reeds.
Yeah, the reeds.
We didn't get much of it.
The Crannog men. It's glacial, man. We get like 10 minutes of that plot line a season.
I mean, I think with that scene, that's pretty much, there's like only one more thing that happens to Bran in the next 2 books, practically. I mean, you know, there's more,
I'm
but
with
you're
you.
Right.
I'm with you.
It's there's not a lot left to do with.
He does. It's a lot of journeying, right? So, yeah. There's not a lot of active plot, I suppose.
I mean, he had his vision this week that he has to go north when he touched the tree.
Right.
And, there was foreshadowing of dragons over King's Landing.
Mm-hmm. Was that King's Landing? I was going to ask about that in the vision. Was that
pretty
dragons
sure.
over
yeah.
King's Landing?
Pretty sure.
So, who's the guy that he's looking for under the tree?
Is that foreshadowing, or was he seeing...
Is it Benjen Stark?
It may be. But no.
Oh.
No. Oh, you know.
I'm pretty sure.
Our new dedication to preventing spoilers prevents me from commenting.
Yes.
I don't think that was foreshadowing.
I mean, he's a green seer.
Right.
Yeah, he sees stuff that happens.
Or happened.
He's one in a thousand. One in a thousand.
Yeah. I'm wondering how they're going to bring that up, the connection of the Green Seers to history and time and all that through the show. The trees. You know, trees live a long time.
What about the, what are they called? Not the little people, but like the...
The children of the forest?
Yes, the children of the forest.
The Lilliputians. You said not the little people. Right. Never mind.
Darby O'Gill... And the little people. Have they talked about Children of the Forest on the show, like in an offhand comment, like the Grumpkins and the...
I mean, something with old Nan, I think. There was a scene or two.
I think Tyrion talks about like season one when he goes to the wall, he is joking about Grumpkins and whatever beyond the wall. Like he doesn't completely take it seriously. Maybe then.
Yeah, I know there was.
I know he says Grumpkins.
There's a couple Grumpkin shout outs, but I don't remember them addressing the children of the forest and the sort of mythical past where they where you know.
I don't think they have.
The Seven Kingdoms used to be their homeland before.
I mean, we heard about that mostly in Winterfell in the books, didn't we? Wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was the old Nan stories. Mm-hmm. But then we get, like, Arya when she's traveling with the Brotherhood Without Banners. And they take that trip to that little island in the middle of the big lake.
And the Island of Faces.
The Island of Faces, yes. And the old woman mysteriously appears around the campfire that night and asks what's-his-face to play a song for her in exchange
Lemon Cloak.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, old Lem. And that woman, you guys debate whether or not she was a actual child of the forest?
Well, that was my understanding.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I can't remember somebody shouting me down about that.
Well, I mean, she didn't, nobody came right out and said that, and she may not have been, but...
See, they haven't really developed any of that, and that's, like, pretty crucial to what Bran is supposed to be doing, right? So well, how are they going to tie that in? I mean, what...
He'll get to a point where somebody will just say, hey, this is how it is.
Yeah.
And they'll just plow on from there.
Right.
Just, yeah. A couple minutes of exposition and...
Yeah. Then back to tits in King's Landing.
Was there any boobs? I didn't see any nudity in that episode. Did I miss it?
No, there wasn't. Not even any sheer tops.
But it said nudity on the intro.
Well, it was wedding week.
Write your congressman.
All class.
There was a chick
with her. Write your bannerman.
Except for the
Raven, send your bannerman a raven.
The girl with her legs spread, I guess, on the table that... Prince Oberyn kind of.
Yeah, that's perfectly PG. Yeah. That's circus stuff.
That's just gymnastics.
I don't even know if there are any swears this week.
This is a pretty wholesome episode.
Man.
Yeah.
Despite the poisoning. Or
all the violence. Yeah. No, that doesn't matter. No. Just a girl getting eaten by dogs.
That was implied. Well, implied violence only.
What do you think of the whole like Roose Bolton conversation with his bastard? I mean,
yeah, it was very interesting to see them together and see a dynamic there of Ramsay having to answer to his father,
and then kind of prove that kind of what he did was effective.
Worthy,
I guess
worthy. Pop came around pretty fast. I mean, he even if he's just being altruistic or opportunistic, he's still
He didn't waste an opportunity to put him in his place,
right?
Sort of,
and then he didn't really
diminish
follow
him.
Through with it.
But he does seem to somewhat admire his
effort,
his
guile.
Yeah,
Ramsay's reek training skills.
Yeah,
he did a good job training Theon.
That was a nice.
He can hold have the razor held to his throat while he
that's
tells
all right.
him his
I liked it.
Friend was dead.
Yeah, that was kind of. I bet. Probably people who hadn't read the book are like, oh, he's going to...
Yeah.
That was pretty fascinating.
Kill his slit his throat. Slide his throat? He's going to slide his throat.
Prod his throat? Nothing.
I don't think that kind of event actually happens in the books, but it is maybe indicative of the way that Ramsay fucks with his head and is also just
you get
a
to
psychopath
see how...
who's like... Not afraid of
right to have somebody slit his throat. I mean,
I actually think Reek had too much pause. You know, I mean, yeah. I know it's supposed to be like a
he's
that
yeah the Reek from the books wouldn't have even batted an eye,
right?
Because it's almost like Theon is just sort of like locked compartmentalized away.
He's so messed up he doesn't hardly even realize he's Theon anymore.
Right. He still answers all the questions about I really let Bran and Rickon go. And
yeah, he's still got it upstairs. He's just...
holding. Yeah, because you can tell when like they're hunting the girl that he's kind of like...
Man, this is really not cool.
Yeah. No, I just killed those two little farm kids, but
I think
this isn't cool.
I think he just knows never to disobey, no matter how he feels. You know. But yeah, in the book, it's more like he didn't feel. He just...
Right.
was a robot.
There's so much the dynamic between Ramsay and Theon is so much richer in the books. Like, isn't it Ramsay playing the part of Reek that basically talks Theon into killing the two other kids anyway?
That's right, because I think the first time we see Ramsay, he's actually Reek. Impersonating Reek or or whatever.
Right. Well, yeah, it's like Ramsay is like gallivanting around the north, just like...
Doing whatever the fuck he wants.
Doing whatever the fuck he wants, and then so a bunch of other Northmen like hunt him down for his crimes, and when they capture him... And at that time, Ramsay has a Reek already. He has a Reek. And he basically, he kills his original Reek and assumes the identity of Reek.
Right, right.
And he's sort of taken captive to Winterfell as Reek, but he insinuates his way into Theon's power structure by, you know, swearing fealty to Theon and promising him knowledge of the North and all this stuff. Yeah, so he sort of gets inside Theon's head and gets him to do some bad stuff. And then, so it's all the more twisted when the power
and
is,
then he
is
asks
flipped.
Him the questions that he knows, well, at least on the show, that it's like, oh, he already really knows all the answers to the questions that he's asking him.
Yeah.
Which is why when Theon lies, he can be like, oh, no, you're not telling the truth. Interesting.
Bad Reek.
But the show has established Ramsay as a devious, fascinating,
very
psychopathic
well.
Weirdo in other ways. Yeah. So, yeah. And sort of made you weep for Theon, though he may not deserve it.
Yeah, Theon kind of gets
an accomplishment.
Kind of up and down about you kind of like him and then you hate him and now you feel sorry for him, kind of.
I think,
at least I do.
I don't know if anyone ever liked him. I felt sorry for him.
I kind of liked him, I think, at the beginning, like the very first few episodes, at least.
You want to like him because he seems like so
kind of a mistreated guy. It was like away from his family.
He didn't have the warm reception that he thought he was going to have when he returned to Pike.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so the first time I was like, oh, man.
So you understand why he's motivated to kind of change allegiance, to kind of prove things to his real family.
Right.
But,
did he say? Was it him that saved Bran early on from
from the wildlings?
Band of marauders. Yeah,
he shoots him with the arrow. Yeah,
yeah. It
but
was.
He gets a dressing down from Rob for being a little careless with the arrows because he might have easily shot Bran.
Right,
right. Again, that's Glacial too. Right, we haven't seen what's the series changed the name of
Osha?
Theon's sister
Yara yeah,
from Yara. From
Asha to Yara.
Asha to Yara.
Asha too was too close to Osha.
To Osha, the wildling woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who we haven't seen in like a year anyway.
Oh, well, Osha went
right.
off.
She's off
with Bricken. Bricken?
Ricken?
I reckon. So yeah, we won't see her again for a while, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I mean, but things are changing, man. It's clear that Sir Ilan Payne's not going to make it on the scene.
There you go. And that's who Jaime trains with in the book.
That's who he should
just
be sparring with.
The only one
with.
He can count on not to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got no who tongue. Does he originally spar with? Because I was just talking with Phil's girlfriend, Paula, about it. Because he originally starts off with somebody else.
He spars with someone.
And it's like, I wish I had chosen Sir Ilan Payne because he doesn't talk. I think he does with one of the Kingsguard guys.
Oh, yeah. It's like Sir Meryn Trant or one of those.
Yeah.
One of those fools.
One of those losers.
Doesn't Jaime start sparring with someone before he ever gets back to King's Landing?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
not counting Brienne?
No.
Okay, that's not sparring. But.
I think that's...
That's about, more like jousting.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong about that.
He spars with Sir Adam Marbrand.
Ah, there we go.
Sir Adam.
A minor.
Isn't he like the only member of the Kingsguard who isn't loathsome and crappy, Sir Adam? Like the other ones are all willingly used to beat Sansa at Joffrey's bidding?
Probably. I can't confirm.
Okay.
Sounds right.
He wasn't there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's too bad. Because it seems like Jaime and Sir Ellen's relationship was going somewhere, but maybe not, or at least not going anywhere that's crucial to the Jaime's character's path. And people love them some Bronn.
They
do.
I think he's a fan favorite, and they probably are writing him in more than they had intended, just because they want him on screen. Did you see the guy who plays Bronn was part of? I'm sorry.
Oh, an 80s like he was like a they had like
he was
a
part
couple
of
top singles.
Doo-wop duo.
And they had like some top like three or four top singles in Great Britain.
It was really? It was doo-wop. It was like it looks terrible. Look it up. It's just YouTube doo-wop Bronn or whatever it takes. It's just I wish I would have been able to listen to it.
Huh? Can't see it.
Me neither until I saw it. Now can't unsee it.
What are they going to do with Bronn? Bronn's. I don't remember a lot more interesting things really that Bronn does other than marry a
he kind of gets a
lady or something.
He marries
eventually. Isn't it Lolly's?
Well, yes,
the girl who
was raped in
raped
the mob
during the mob scene.
Yeah. Well, that hasn't happened. Or isn't going to happen.
It should have happened.
Lawless is a character that's never appeared on the show.
Yeah.
But she was ever present during Tyrion's reign.
Yeah, that would have happened like season 2 or 3.
Yeah. She was one
They speak of her.
Of Lawless on the Lawless? Show?
Yeah. Someone says she was the girl who was raped in the alley of the thing. I think Cersei talks about her to.
I think you're right.
Tyrion, maybe? I can't remember. Okay. Yeah.
They could come back to it. I mean, they plant those seeds like Ser Dantos that just go away where it's clear, like, all right, they're just blowing off Dantos, and then he pops up in this episode to do what he did in the book.
Right.
It's just like, what? You're back? I think, is this the first time we've actually seen him being
he
the fool
really
that
pops
he's
in and
meant
out.
To have been all along?
Yeah. The second time, yeah. But he is just a dips in and out more than any other character, maybe, you know?
Right.
He's very mysterious fool.
Maybe there's more to this Dantos than meets the eye.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, the episodes, like the next episode has to be pretty much concurrent, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that happen during the wedding that I didn't catch on camera this time. I suppose we did see Dantos getting Sansa to leave with him.
In all the chaos of Tyrion getting seized at the end... We don't actually see Sansa say, "Okay, Ser Dantos, I will now escape with you."
Right,
right.
But in the preview for next week, we saw him running.
Did we
down some stairs? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they're going to pick up like from
we
that
shall escape
very moment.
Downstairs.
Yes. I thought wasn't the whole wedding like I imagine that was inside in the book.
It was
okay.
It was. Yeah. They must have decided it was. Cheaper. Easier to
they didn't
shoot
have
outside.
To run out of a huge castle.
Yeah.
We can set up in this empty field. Perfect.
But it was a little more grandiose looking than some of their other grand events that they scaled down to nothing.
I mean, the wedding ceremony itself was pretty short, just a brief, like, I'll seal this marriage with a kiss type deal.
Well, so, thankfully. Yeah. I mean, we got to see how
there's
a wedding...
No use.
Works
wasting time doing that.
Yeah. Tyrion and Sansa were just married a few episodes ago, and they sort of demonstrated the whole putting the cloak on the bride.
Right.
And yes, but they didn't describe each of the 18 courses of the meal in painful detail.
Right. Then again, Martin is just loves to talk about food and dress.
Right.
You know, in vast detail.
When you think of the scene where they kind of give the pre-wedding gifts.
Yes, the book and the sword.
And the
they didn't show the
and the goblets.
Yeah.
When he hacked the book to pieces, you didn't really get a good chance to see. Everyone else is like, in the book, they were pretty like, oh, what are you doing, man? That's like a classic that you hacked up.
Right.
They didn't even show people's faces, really, when he did that. They were just like...
Just kind of Tyrion was like...
Well, I mean, people were more shocked when he said something sensible or you know, actually kingly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the wisdom
remark. It's a time for knowledge, or yeah.
before I hack your book up. Yeah, they didn't really make play that up at all. I could have gone right by.
I'm glad nobody said how magnificent his sword looks. Everyone just seems to casually know, oh, you've got Valyrian steel? I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
But although, how would you know? Because it doesn't look any different than anything right. else.
Although Bronn did compliment Jaime's sword in this episode, which yeah, right. again with the it's a beaut.
What do you think about what do you think about their little sparring scene? I mean, it wasn't cool. much to it, but
it was just Bronn with one of his tales of
and Jaime's really struggling,
banging and
fighting. I was waiting for Bronn to say something like, "You're going to learn more with your left hand today than you will any other day on guard," you know, or whatever, because. He obviously wanted to. His job is to get him going, and he's going to jump right in because that's how you teach someone.
Yeah,
but no witty repartee. Yeah, not really.
I was kind of thinking Bronn would really get under Jamie's skin like immediately, mm-hmm. but they just didn't get there yet. Although this will be we'll probably have a Bronn v. Jamie scene in the next couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always an exposition opportunity if you just get two characters together. But I don't think Bronn's going to be privy to a whole lot more of interesting information from this point on.
Yeah.
But I mean, he'll be able to talk about rising. There's the impending trial of Tyrion, which we'll have more to talk about there. I'm sure Bronn will contribute
a little more to the story during
that period here shortly. But there's no reason to think it's going to be exactly the way it played out in the books. So.
Yeah, I've kind of, as I've talked about this with, you know, because my kid watches the show, but he hasn't read the books, and so he'll ask me about what's going on, and at this point I'm like, well, boy, they could really do anything. Yeah. it's kind of veered.
They remind you of that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hope what happens in the book happens in the show.
How about, let's talk about the Lannisters versus Oberyn and Hor.
The Tywin.
Nice scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was it? Tywin Cersei
yeah. talking to Oberyn and...
His lady?
Yeah, what's...
Friend?
Illyria.
Yeah. Pretty...
Kind of some threats in there. Yeah, like sure. Lucky Marcella's in this place where we, you know...
Definitely
don't kill people. Mm-hmm. Where we think that's bad.
It was good. Yeah.
Pretty thinly veiled hostility. Now there's some foreshadowing.
Although Tywin ought to have had a little more menace or umbrage or something. He was just kind of...
Yeah, he didn't...
Blandly, he didn't really reveal any interest in or, you know, knowledge of what happened or... I don't know.
Yeah, but you think a guy like Tywin's pretty used to being insulted like that.
I did like that glance to Tywin looking worried when Joffrey was first... falling. In fact, everyone's glances in that moment are probably meaningful.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Lady Olenna.
Yeah.
Getting involved, you know, just kind of like, look, he's choking everybody, you know, your king is dying, you fools, go help him. and so...
They didn't know the Heimlich maneuver back then, apparently.
No, they didn't. Although he was, the food was coming out. Yeah, his face turned a nasty, nasty... Good death. Well good done, death. Joffrey.
Well done.
Nice, ugly, special effects, aided death scene.
We're glad you're gone. I am, at least.
I feel really happy for the people that haven't read any of the books, that didn't see that coming, didn't know, no spoilers, you know, and haven't had their friends on Facebook who have read the book spoil it for them, because now I can talk about it. That scene, that event, was one of the very first things that ever got spoiled for me by this asshole friend of a friend. No, well, yeah, friend of a friend. The guy's not my friend, for sure. And he was just like, something like early on, and people were talking about what an asshole Joffrey was, and he's like, oh, just, it's cool, just wait, he'll die. He dies. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. I called him out. I'm just like, and his retort, clever retort, was, yes, I told you he dies, but I didn't tell you how. Yeah. I'm like, what? Jeez. Just, I was furious. But what are you going to do?
You should have beat him up.
I should have found him, met him, and beat him up.
What do you think Marjorie's reaction was like when Joffrey started choking?
I mean, very calculated reaction.
She's worried. React there, goes, that much. There goes her meal ticket.
Yeah.
She's the is, king's is dead. She she's worried? Nothing.
Or, well, they or is she...
Is she feigning worry?
Yeah.
Well, no, she's worried. Why would she if do that? He, I mean, whether she doesn't care about Tom, or Joffrey, obviously, but if, you know, her husband's no longer the king, then she's nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. I it wasn't from the previews of next week. She does seem worried. It's yes. Like I was almost the queen,
right?
But I mean, isn't she the queen? No, I mean, isn't it a done deal or not till the betting?
Let's talk about this as if we haven't read the book at all. Let's say we're just viewers the whole thing. So what's regally what just happened? They're not married, so she's still
no. They're married.
They're married.
They're oh, married.
No, yeah, they are married.
They are married,
but. But the king died, so the
but they didn't consummate it.
Right, that's the thing. That's why she's worried in the next episode, right?
Oh,
that's well, why
that could be
until
that was,
you.
That was the issue with Renly. Is
that
like,
that could end up being to her advantage?
Okay, so who's in,
because she can marry
well, but
again.
Who's in power the laws now? In Westeros? Who becomes the king? Right, that was the original with the
well,
Baratheons.
Well, Tommen is now the heir apparent.
It's it would Tommen. It would be Joffrey's son if he had one, which he doesn't.
Which he doesn't.
Uh-huh. Right,
so it's the next
the
oldest
heir apparent.
And we saw Tommen for the first time in ages in this episode.
Did we? I was wondering about that. I was just thinking.
Right.
We got
you
a
know,
couple
if Joffrey's
glances.
Dead, we're going to have to, you know, hire somebody to play Tommen.
Tommen. I don't know if it's the same Tommen we'd seen before. He looks old.
I guess
older
I
older than you might want Tommen's character to
oh,
look.
Oh, he was sitting at the table. He kind of
everyone in this
the,
is
laughing at
the
dwarves.
Dwarves, right.
Yeah. Like we said before though, anyone that plays a young character in this book, they're 3 years or 4 years older than
right.
they are in the book because you can't have
yeah.
some of the shit going on with people who are 8 and 9.
Yeah.
That's
right.
just not that, okay, well, you know?
I read a little blurb interview with Peter Dinklage the other day, and he mentioned that it's been 7 years since he was originally cast in this role.
Wow.
So
wow,
they've been at this show for a good long time now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know like the guy who plays Jojen Reed is like... You know, 20
yeah.
something basically. So I mean, yeah, he's
but
older
he's,
than
yeah. I mean, but, he's settled into his look. He's
right.
Not, he's not.
Yeah, kinda, exactly.
Right.
Which you need somebody older that still kind of looks young. I think is the key.
And they didn't even on the show really establish that they were necessarily all that young.
Right.
The Reeds.
No, that's true.
But in the books, mm-hmm. they show up and they're kind of like of an age with the other kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like 16, he's 13 or something. They're,
mm-hmm.
they're older than Bran, but not by much.
We see Mace Tyrell for the first time, I think. And he's just an oaf.
Yeah.
He's just an oaf that's dismissed by Lady Olenna, and he shows up,
right.
tries to talk to somebody once, and they brush him off. But Mace Tyrell is like sitting on the small council and wielding a lot of power and influence. I mean, it's true that they do depict him as not being all that bright, and that Lady Olenna maybe is the real kind of force behind that, the Tyrell family, but the show has decided to go a different way with that entirely, and just have Lady Olenna be the one that directly deals with Tywin, and that Mace is just in the background.
Right, he's completely inconsequential. He's one of the silly courtiers, or...
But he's there. At least they cast the character, and he yeah. exists in the world. He might that, which I imagine, if they've introduced him at this point, he must play a role in other events that are going to happen this season. Something to do with maybe we'll start to see him on the small council here in the sort of trial of Tyrion period, where you start you basically now that Joffrey's dead. They're going to have to lay some groundwork to sort of establish what the new power structure in King's Landing is. The Tyrells are there, and they're not going to go away. And Tywin's claim to power is slipping away. I think they'll depict some of that stuff coming up here pretty soon.
What do we think about the whole... We finally got back to Stannis there for a little bit. They burned a couple people to start off, and...
Yeah.
He's kind of back with...
Sir Axel Florence.
Yeah. His brother?
The Lady Selyse's brother.
Okay. So, yeah, his wife's kind of in this one a little
Did
more.
Did they
than...
recast her? Or did we ever see her? Or
we saw her last season.
Yeah, we saw her like fervently say, "It's okay with me if you go and have sex with Melisandre because
right,
because we have the same religion."
Yeah, yeah. No, we saw her, but I don't know if it's a new actress.
I didn't recognize her this time. I think she's different. We'll find out later. I could probably look it up on my phone right now, but I won't do that to you guys. It'll be more fun for us all to forget all about it.
Kind of the name of the game anymore.
I mean, but what did that, I don't know, did it really?
It was a little bit redundant, that scene. I sort of feel like we were just going over some of the same ground we covered last season.
Right.
Yeah, oh yeah, they tend to sacrifice people in the fires.
Yeah.
Didn't really forward.
Because yes. I want to say that Davos... spent his time in the cells following this event where Sir Florence died. That this was kind of like the last straw for him, and then that's when he started plotting to kill Melisandre and ended up in the cells. Mm-hmm. And then after he's released, he's off on his other mission and he disappears for a while.
Right.
But that...
I think, yeah, the burning of the people on the beach happens, yeah. Quite a bit back.
Yeah. Now the scene with Melisandre and
the kid.
Yeah. Stannis' daughter, whose name escapes me. Anyone?
Patchface? No, that's not her.
That's the name of her fool who has been written out of the show.
I don't remember what his daughter's name is.
Yeah, does Davos, he ends up in White Harbor. Prisoner. Well, no, but in prison after he sends Eldric Storm again.
That's how he gets in trouble.
That's how he gets in trouble originally.
He helps Eldric Storm. He basically, Eldric didn't even realize he was in trouble.
Right. Didn't realize he was going to be sacrificed.
Right. So, yeah, he sent that away, and that's how he got really in trouble in Stannis' bad books.
And we didn't see Gendry at all. I mean, is he still kind of...
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question. I thought they were going to sacrifice him. What are they... What's the holdup here?
Still leeches on him in the bedroom somewhere?
Yeah, is he still tied up in Melisandre's bedroom, or... Because, I mean, in the books, he safely ends up just as a blacksmith for the Brotherhood without banners.
Right.
Oh, wait, but didn't... So did Davos send Gendry away in this? Did that happen? I don't remember. Fuck.
Did Davos... He may have.
Oh, jeez.
I think he did.
It's one thing when I can't remember what happened in the book I read 4 years ago, but I can't remember what happened in the TV show last season.
I know. We are...
We're old.
We came in hot, man. We came in hot. We now were excited. Like, we kept up.
I watched too much TV. I can't remember.
Well, everyone, it's been a good ride. Thanks for tuning in all these seasons. This will be our last podcast.
We kind of get a Brienne Cersei convo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cersei didn't quite. I mean, Cersei was interesting this episode. Yeah,
a lot of barbs, all barbs, and
she really puts Grandmaster Pycelle. She kind of, she's like, "You fucking dirty old man!
Yeah, I'm so get sick out of here! You.
Yeah, you're annoying me right now." I mean, she let him out. She's the one who let him back out of the cell.
Cersei is pretty much cracked at this point.
Yeah. And what just happened isn't going to help.
Right. I mean, yeah, she was already broken, but now she's. Yeah, she's going to start going off the deep end.
Yeah.
But her exchange with Brienne wasn't quite as nasty as some of her others. She was just kind of more curious about... she accused her of being in love with Jaime, almost a toy with him, her. Or, I don't know, I mean...
It was not...
That was perceptive of her to call her out for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think anybody else would have even imagined that that's what was happening.
But Cersei's not interested.
Including Brienne and Jaime themselves.
Right.
But Cersei's not really interested anymore, it doesn't appear. So.
No, she's not. I mean, she's done with Jaime.
Yeah, he took too long.
and he's not what he was. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, Cersei's just so despicable. What, did she ever really care for
Jamie? Yeah, no, she didn't. He's of no use to her anymore.
She was young. Now she's older and sharper, shrewier.
Careful.
Shrewier.
Still or more incompassionate ever than ever than she ever was before. She's just turning into a wicked old lady.
Drunk.
She's not old yet, but she's wicked.
Wicked hot.
Too wicked.
Jamie has gone, you know, his transformation is complete now from, you know, the villain of the first pilot episode of this series to sort of a noble broken spirits who's got, you know, a clear path of vindication laying ahead of him.
Right.
But like they said, the Lannister kids aren't doing very good. Everyone's got big problems.
Yeah.
Aren't a lot of families where the kids are thriving.
Yeah. Jamie's got it the best out of all of them now. He came back with one hand.
Yeah.
It's true.
And now he's, you know.
Well, his son just died.
But they weren't.
And again, he doesn't care.
They weren't getting along.
Yeah. Be really hard for anybody to care about Joffrey. My gosh, completely despicable.
There's that one person who's some girl in her bedroom is tearing down a poster in anger that Joffrey's dead. I loved him.
A girl in Seattle.
I think the kid who played Joffrey and the kid who played Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter movies need to team up for a new story where they're both just
the nicest guys ever.
Yeah, exactly. Super nice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Qyburn got a mention in that Cersei Pycelle exchange where Pycelle was saying something about his demented experiments at the Citadel.
Right.
Has that ever been mentioned before?
I don't think so.
When Qyburn first comes on the scene. Yeah, I think he tells Jamie when he's first patching up Jamie.
I think he says, I'm no maester or something.
But that does establish now that...
Qyburn returned to King's Landing with Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, he was caring for Jamie on that trip, and he sort of insinuates his way in with Cersei at that point. So that's an important plot point that Cersei now depends on Qyburn instead of Pycelle for all of her maester needs. Yeah, we're gonna see more stuff from Oberyn. Obviously, Oberyn hasn't really played his hand yet.
I like him, by the way.
Oberyn is cool
character.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And I mean, you were talking last week about the sort of the obscure what's the word for it? You know, like the cultural heritage or just like the racial makeup of people.
The ethnography of Westeros.
Yes, the ethnicity. Don't you think that the casting for the two people from Dorne is like, don't they look sort of...
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Spanish?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Or like, yeah, like they've been out on the Mediterranean all their life.
Yeah.
Yeah, the casting of the Dornish... Looks good, but they're really, really messing it up over on Ostros.
Yes.
With, what's his face?
Dario Naharis.
Yeah, Dario.
Who, you know, when he speaks English, he has a British accent, but when he speaks his native tongue, all of a sudden, come on. And didn't that guy have like the colored beard, you know, like the long, you know, he'd like make his beard long or his mustache
forked.
Long and blue, yeah, forked and oiled.
Was that him?
Or whatever. I think it was.
Yeah, could have been.
Right. Cause he was
North American audience just can't deal with Daenerys being in love with a hairy, oily Mediterranean type.
I guess not. Racists.
A lot of that styling they've just not followed. I mean, it's all so well described in the books. They could have just followed that.
Another point Katie brought up that we didn't mention, or maybe you guys didn't mention, but no strong Belwas.
Yeah,
yeah, which, a great character in the book. I love fantastic. That he was the brawn of the book.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, Bronn was the Bronn of the book, too.
Strong Belwas had a lot of personality.
Yeah. Bronn's funnier in the TV series, so mm-hmm. he's more sort of flippant.
Strong yeah. Belwas has some like fight scenes where he just like destroys God. Guys, right?
And yeah.
It's like, fights like three guys in a row or something like that. And like,
he has a hilarious
it's, like,
scene.
Send out your best warrior, and it's like, just like, I forget what he does, but.
Oh, I remember
maybe,
what he does.
Maybe someone else will do that stuff. Who knows?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
let's not
I don't
talk
want
too
to
much
talk
about
probably
it.
Probably Dario.
Yeah. Could be.
Oh.
It's got to be a big kind of
barrel chested.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, did pull off what he that particular scene.
Well, we'll see some of that next week, apparently.
Yeah.
When Daenerys finally gets to Meereen.
Right.
Because that's when it happens.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, looks like some good action coming up.
They could introduce Strong Belwas and just have him do that all at once.
Yeah, they could. I suppose they could.
Maybe Grey Worm will do it.
Yeah,
he's
kind of
a skinny little dude. Not really.
Something different's going to happen there entirely. So we've got that coming up. We've got some more Castle Black stuff coming up. That's not real clear what's going to happen there. But right. I mean, the Wildlings are south of the Wall. Yeah, that's going to go down.
Definitely going to be, I mean, interesting to see how they adapt, or for the people who haven't read the book, how they introduce what's going to happen to Tyrion. I mean, mm-hmm. a few things could happen,
yeah.
None of it good, but mm-hmm. we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Well, Tyrion's got some friends still, Jaime and Bronn, apparently, Shay has left, according to Bronn, so that's
Maybe,
not a problem.
Not a friend either.
He didn't see the ship all the way off, though, so...
Yeah.
You know, he would have killed anyone that was following him. Unless they had a big sack of gold.
Right. Yeah, see, I'm not,
still
not
a
sure
sword.
Buying Bronn's loyalty to Tyrion at all. He's got no loyalty.
That's true. He's never...
And he's not made any bones about it either. He's like, as soon as you stop paying
right.
me...
Tyrion knows
as
that.
As soon as somebody mm-hmm. else starts paying me...
Right.
You're on your own.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's so likable. How could he... How could he cross him?
Yeah.
Look how his star has risen by teaming up with Tyrion.
It really has.
Arya and the Hound are still out there, but I don't think we're going to see them for a while.
Probably not. I don't think they have much left.
If Sansa makes a getaway with Dantos here, we might not see her again for a while either.
So I guess we'll probably be seeing a certain Baelish guy that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, Littlefinger. Where the heck's he been?
Good question. Where is he officially?
Wasn't he sent to negotiate with somebody?
Dairy. Isn't he headed out east?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To go talk to, what's her?
Liza.
Liza.
Oh, God.
And who crushed on him back in the day, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens
there.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, he went to.
He's supposed to go
treat with / mess with, flirt with, whatever her.
Marry her.
Yeah, was it that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he was to be awarded the Warden of the East.
The Vale is the only kingdom that is yet to swear fealty to King Joffrey. So Littlefinger was tasked with going to get that
go
done.
Talk to your old would-be girlfriend.
In exchange for Harrenhal.
In exchange for Harrenhal, right. The biggest castle that nobody wants.
All that upkeep.
Yeah, the utility bill through the roof.
I'm interested to see what Moat Cailin's going to look like. That one's like not just a sort of a destroyed castle, mm-hmm. but it's literally sinking into the swamp.
Because we're going to see it.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if we will.
Really?
Yeah.
Most of the action at Moat Cailin happens, you know. Off screen.
Well, there's the Ironborn.
The Ironborn have seized Moat Cailin at this point.
But who's the guy that they're going to send after the two kids, Bran and Rickon? The one...
Yeah, that guy, he's like an amalgamation of some other characters. Because
right.
It was the whole, the Bloody Mummers were the ones that teamed up with Rorg
it's
and
a,
Biter.
Oh, Vago, geez. Vago.
Lord Vargo Hote.
Vargo Hote.
So, but this guy is just a Bolton Bannerman who had the the honor of being the one that tortured and or the,
cuts know, off Jamie's
cuts
hand.
Off Jamie's hand. So he still exists. This guy who is not Vargo Hoat,
right?
I mean, Vargo Hoat did that in the book,
and, he gets
and Vargo Hoat gets killed in the book. So there's no one for Jamie to have take vengeance against. But this guy's still around. So it's like there's going to be a moment in this show, I'm sure, where Jamie, after Jamie, you know, practices with Braun for a couple seasons, he'll meet up with this
it's
guy.
It's
going to
be like it's kind of a Princess Bride deal where he...
I think it will
turns
be.
And runs.
Yeah.
To the pain.
That guy kind of does remind me of the prince and Princess Bride with his facial look.
Christopher
oh,
Guest.
Oh, that guy. No, no, no. Well...
Oh, oh no. No the prince.
Yeah.
The prince. Chris Sarandon.
Yeah.
Wow. You know that guy's name?
I... yeah. I don't know why. He's only been in like three things I've ever seen, but I think just because he was married
right
to Susan Sarandon. Huh?
I don't think that's right either.
That he's been in three things?
No, that it's him. Isn't that someone else?
Well, he's not on this show.
No shit. We're talking about The Princess Bride.
Yes.
Obviously, on a Game of Thrones podcast, we're talking about The Princess Bride, right?
Obviously.
Right, okay. We're all on the same page here.
This is what we do.
Right.
We half remember things
from other shows.
And make the other half up.
I mean, our listeners have to have something to yell at their earbuds about.
Well, good news for them. We're just rounding 60 minutes.
Mm.
Ooh.
Well, I'm Morley Safer.
I'm Liza Minnelli. No, Morley Safer dated Liza Minnelli, and she's the one that made him get that A ring.
What's an A-ring?
A-ring?
Earring.
Is it like the U-ring or the...
No. The Nuva ring?
It wasn't Morley Safer. It was Ed Bradley. Sorry.
Ed Bradley is the one that talked Harrison Ford into getting an earring.
After Liza made him. Look it up, man.
Okay.
Look it up. God, who cares? All right.
And I just saw a trailer for The Expendables 3, and Harrison Ford is going to be in that.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he rocking the earring?
He's like one of 20 action heroes that are in it.
But he won't have an action-y role. He'll be like some sort of...
He's piloting a chopper.
Well, it's action-y.
And he might be doing it for real, because
yeah, he is like a licensed
pilot. Okay.
Boba Fett.
Yeah, Peter Mayhew's in it, too. No, Peter Mayhew is reprising his role as Chewbacca in the new Star Wars movies.
Is he?
He is.
That'll lend authenticity to the new trilogy.
Yeah.
Well, Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher are both signed, right?
Unfortunately, allegedly. So is Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill.
But he's working out. So.
You know, you mean physically?
Physically.
Has he gained a bunch of weight?
Oh, have you seen him?
He looks doughy.
Well, he's also kind of old.
Yeah. Mark Hamill's been cashing in as the voice of the Joker for years now in cartoons.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of voice work.
I don't know.
He was in Wing Commander, right? The video game.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we're done here.
Right. But forever or just for this week?
just for this week.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll be back. There's still more series.
Oh yeah.
Next week's Easter, guys. Is that a problem for anybody?
Are they airing it?
I think next week is a problem for me, actually. I have a prior engagement.
You'll have to cancel.
I can't.
No, I mean on us.
I'll have to cancel on you guys.
Wow.
You guys, do you want to do one without me?
Ooh.
That would feel wrong.
It would feel weird. Let's do it.
You could try it.
I don't know how we could. Let's do it. We should absolutely do it. We're going to bring someone else in, though.
Put some feelers out.
Replace Chuck for good.
Audition my replacement.
Kicked out of your own podcast for going to an Easter Sunday.
I should be kicked out for just lack of Song of Ice and Fire knowledge at this point.
I'm kind of looking up to Chris more than you pretty much lately. So
he has an air of authority in his remembrances that I have lost.
Even if you don't know what you're talking about.
I hear from Katie, and then I'm like, wow, did I even read this book?
Well, that works.
this is a Game of Thrones right here. Who's going to sit in the westernmost chair of Mike's kitchen?
Well, but it's Chuck right now.
Slot one.
Maybe we should buy one of those $500... replica.
Was it only $500?
I think it was like $13,000.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's too expensive.
Let's buy it.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay more than $10,500.
It seems like this kind of thing you could see a stack of at the Home Depot.
Or at Pier 1.
Yeah.
I got to make a phone call. That's a great idea.
All right, guys. Well, I probably won't be back next week, but I'll be back shortly thereafter. And you guys, just have fun with it.
See ya.